Looking to get into sports betting? Well, look no further than HedgeBetter. Traditional sports is rigged anyway. Here at HedgeBetter, we're working hard to create and develop the platform that revolutionizes the future of how we as a nation view sports betting. Traditional sports betting is designed to favor books and lose you money. HedgeBetter puts the odds in your hands, cuts out the middleman, and aims to empower a future generation of sports bettors. At HedgeBetter, your bet is an asset, and we give you all the tools to maximize your profits and potential. We can't wait to come to your state soon and help you make the most of your sports betting experience. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website at www.hedgebetter.com to learn more and sign up for our mailing list. To stay up to date with all of our content, podcasts, including Steel and Naz, promotion, and events, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and click on the link on our website to check out our blog. Everyone, it's even on Monday. Let's have a day. Brady's back. Emergency pod. We usually record Thursday nights. We're in here on a Sunday, you know, walking the KG retirement ceremony, and all of a sudden Tom Brady is back. So episode 71 tonight. We had to get the job done. We you know, like, we were debating whether to do it Thursday or today. It's tonight. So let's start the show. We have a big lineup tonight as Tom Brady returns to the NFL, come back for his 23rd season. That's going to be it all. We have Townsend's star player, Nick Timberlake, from Braintree, Massachusetts, joining us tonight, which was a great interview, you know, great insight. He's going to be playing in the NIT. It's tough, you know, Texas A&M, we watched them all weekend. They're probably going to be the number one overall seed in the NIT, so that'd be good. We also, you know, have our thoughts of what happened, you know, during the Kevin Garnett whole shebang of afterwards. You know, even during the game, Luka Doncic and the boys taking over the Dallas Mavericks win over the Boston Celtics, and you know, the whole bracket of March Madness. So before we spin to it to Nick, what did you guys think of the interview? I know you were there, Steele. So yeah, what did you think?
Great stuff. I mean, it's crazy how he talks about it. All the transfers that school has, and like their ability to combine and become a team like that with chemistry is insane.
The fact that like he's obviously seems like a team player and everything, but he can just continue to be the number one like points per game averager no matter how many transfers come around. It's great to see. And also it sucks that he didn't get an NCAA tournament because they were the number one seed like going into the conference tournament. But to get in the NIT at all, you know, we'll be watching him this week on ESPN. It's going to be great stuff. Like we said, we're going to record on Thursday, record on Sunday. So we're going to get this out hopefully probably before, you know, his first game. So big shout out to him. Braintree Mass guy, Campbell Union guy, can't wait to let it rip. You know, the whole Kevin Garnett thing made me go insane. What my all-time favorite NBA basketball player of all time, Assassin's mentality. You know, if you know me a little bit, you know, I bring it to the softball diamond. I bring that mentality to the game. I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing myself right now.
Anything is possible.
I do. You literally are, because your body shape is the exact opposite.
you're the big baby of the Celtics team.
And that's bullshit, and that's why you guys are losers and I'm a fucking winner.
I'm just saying. I mean,
anything's possible.
I don't know. Wait. What, would you win a NASCAR tonight? No, you're a fucking loser.
No, yeah, Denny Hamlin blows.
He's got you there.
Fucking Chase
Briscoe. He was rooting for, like, car accidents. He's like, hold on, wait, there might be an accident.
Whatever. This guy might die.
Blow a tire already, you fucking loser.
Adam heard Tom Brady's coming back, not even to the Patriots, and I've never seen him happier. It's like,
oh yeah. Wait, so he hasn't announced who he's coming back to?
He's
coming.
No, he announced that he announced the Bucks. He's coming back in the Bucks.
Okay, cool.
He served 20 unbelievable years here. I'm a Tom Brady fan for life, and if you're not like that, you're a fucking loser.
No,
I'm sorry.
I'm fine with Tom, but like, I'd rather news like the Patriots get.
You know, even Adam DJ, over here, like, DJ he was Metcalf, mad about the like, Instagram thing. Who gives a fuck? Tom Brady owes us nothing.
Yeah, he gave us enough.
Tom Brady forever.
But yeah, and before we dive deep in it, we're going to lead off with Townsend's Braintree, Mass native, Nick Timberlake, coming at you. Let's go. We're now joined by Townsend University men's basketball player, Nick Timberlake from Braintree, Massachusetts. Now, Nick, how are we doing tonight, man? I know, obviously, the loss in the semifinals, the Delaware, kind of bittersweet. But, you know, you got to look back on a great season you guys had. I think you guys had like 8 or 9 losses, one of the better years in, you know, recent history of that program. Just tell me how everything's going on.
Just like you said, bittersweet for sure. Losing to Delaware, big rival we have with Delaware, obviously being in a neighboring state. So to lose to them after beating them twice during the regular season is tough. But, I mean, they got hot at the right time. We still got the NIT to look forward to. So we find out on Sunday who and where we play. So looking forward to that. Basketball in March is still fun.
Exactly, right? Show goes on. Show goes on.
March Madness in general. I think there's one kid I know from Delaware, and, like, he – to hell with him. So I agree with him.
To hell with Delaware. Yeah, he's a menace.
Where is Tout? Where's
Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
Baltimore,
yeah.
Gotcha. So just bringing it back a little bit. So you went to Braintree High, ended up going to KUA, right? So what out of your – you know, I think you had 14.5 points per game. I think it led the team. I know you're probably a team-based guy, but is there stuff that you learned at Braintree High School or even just, you know, playing around Braintree Mass that integrate into your game now?
I mean, I don't think my game has changed much since Braintree. I feel like I'm basically the same player, just a little bit better than I was at Braintree High. Just put on a lot of muscle when I went up to KUA. But, I mean, just team ball, Coach Crooks at Braintree High does a great job of that. Just learning to play, like, in a system, I think, helped a lot because the way Coach Crooks coached at Braintree was all based on plays. It wasn't really, like, a ISO, like, give you the best play of the ball. It was kind of run through plays and see what happens.
Which is great for that level because there's a lot of hero ball there.
Yeah.
Like, depending on the team. Yeah. Game, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's a lot, like, for a team to be team based and chemistry. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When did you graduate from Braintree High?
I graduated Braintree High 2017.
Gotcha.
2017. Nice. So, you know, from Braintree, the KUA, stepping on campus for the first time in Townsend, like, even we'll talk about the, like, the recruiting process and things like that. But what kind of blew you away of, you know, life as a Division I athlete and, you know, not having. I guess in high school you have all these periods like 1 through 9, but I think most of us have been to college at this table where you're kind of like in class and then you're not. So how is kind of transitioning into that and, you know, the player you've become today?
I mean, it was eye-opening at first, I would say, just knowing you have one class a day and then you got to go to practice. So that part was cool. It's just the biggest transition is just the level of play. Just – everyone's a lot stronger, bigger, faster, athletic than they are in obviously Massachusetts basketball or going through the NEPSAC up at KUA.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like you put, like in the NEPSAC, there's a bunch of, you know, future Division I guys. I can just spitball around, you know, Nerlens Noel back in the day, even a guy from Weymouth, Jared Terrell. Just, I'm sure like playing at KUA kind of prepared you for this opportunity. What's kind of the – who's the best player you think you've played at Townsend? I know you guys had a game against Virginia a couple years back, and if you have any, like, on-court stories while you were at Townsend, you know, it's a different ballpark than playing for Braintree High School.
Yeah, I mean, my first game I started as a freshman was against Virginia, and this was right after – it was brutal. It was right after they lost to UMBC as a 16 seed. So, I mean, they were out for blood. We hung in there. We were down 4 at half, and then they had Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy,
a couple
other pros, and Ty Jerome just turned it up a whole nother level and just smoked us in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a tough draw.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Just going through the whole, like, college warm-up and stuff is way different than high school. You get there like 2.5 hours early, stretch in the locker room, get ready. And while we were entering like the loading dock, you can see the front door of UVA's arena in the line, probably 2 miles long.
Oh, I'm wow. Like,
that's at like tough. 4 o'clock, the game's not till 7.
What's that? That's Charlottesville? Is that where it is? Yeah.
Yep.
So, like I mentioned, I think already twice already, your points per game this year. So what do you really accredit for? I know you're probably a team guy, as we all are, you know, in the South Shore area. But what do you accredit yourself for, you know, jumping from your redshirt freshman year all the way to your junior year of, you know, being more involved? Do you credit for people, like, graduating? Or do you have someone to credit to, you know, in the off season to really excel your game around here?
I think it's more just, like, knowing my role and how it just – how it works, everything like that. My freshman year, I was sixth man and ended up winning sixth man of the year in the league. So like that just helped my confidence a lot. And then obviously COVID year ruined a bunch of stuff. But oh, yeah, I mean, I can
imagine.
Yeah, it was brutal. And then obviously this year, I was one of the many guys to look forward to. We had four guys, I think, average more than 10 points. So just being the leading scorer didn't really matter. You never really knew whose night it was going to be. So it was kind of like it was really nice to know that.
Yeah, now playing in the CAA, you guys play probably on the road against Northeastern every year, right? So, like, how was that? Yeah. Probably get a bunch of family and friends coming out. And just tell me about the first time, you know, you say you're starting your freshman year going into Northeastern. Maybe if it's the way I'm picturing it is, you know, it's a whole homecoming for you. And how'd that game go?
Well, I had to wait. So my first freshman year, the year I played Virginia, yeah. 8 games after that, I ended up breaking my foot.
Oh, jeez.
Damn.
Yeah, so I didn't get to play Northeastern until the year after, but it was just like you would imagine. It was me and another Massachusetts kid, Ja'Kai Dotton. He's a Cambridge Region Latin kid.
Oh wow!
So I mean, we had the place packed, just Braintree and Cambridge people out there.
That's awesome. And
yeah, we ended up beating Northeastern by one at their place. So it was a nice win.
Doesn't get better than that.
Did you get the opportunity to play our guy, Anthony Green? He's graduated from there now, but I'm sure you know him.
Yeah, no, I know Anthony. I wasn't there. He was there my freshman year, but I didn't get to play him.
Oh, wow. He was on this show. I think we had him like last year. He was going to play in Australia. And I think the thing he feared the most wasn't on the basketball court. I think it was like spiders and stuff in the corner of his house. I heard that happens in Australia.
Yeah, it was just like one of the things from Australia. Yeah. Just some nonsense. Yeah.
Back to your Braintree roots. So, you know, sitting home as a youth, you know, even going into high school, if, you know, the gyms weren't open. We're Quincy guys, so there's a couple places where, you know, we've had people say like the Mound or someplace like that. Is there someplace outside in the summer where you'd be like, all right, this is where I'm going to go get my, you know, shots in, or this is where I'm going to go run for the next 3 to 4 hours?
Not really outside. I mean, my dad was an assistant coach at Braintree High for, I mean, most of my life, so he had a key.
Oh,
so
you had the plug. There you go.
Perfect.
You had the plug.
Yeah,
I lucked out for sure. And I'm really close with Coach Crooks, so I can get a key if my dad ended up losing his or whatever whenever I wanted to. So that was really nice to have.
There we go.
Doherty gym at all?
Doherty gym.
Oh, yeah. I used to go to Doherty a lot. It'd be like sometimes weirdly open, but I mean, that place is just a sauna in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
No fun playing basketball.
No, not at all. Yeah, that's like 200 degrees.
It's a sauna in this recording studio right now. So we're playing through it too.
Well, yeah,
playing through the hard work.
Through the adversity.
We talked about on the back end of our show actually tonight a guy who scored 54 points last Sunday over the Brooklyn Nets. I'm just wondering, any players you look up to right now in the NBA or even just growing up, have you really aspired your game to? And I know for me, it was a guy, I wasn't good at basketball, maybe good in other things, but a guy like Kobe Bryant for me. Anyone like you who you're like, okay, maybe I should look at some film from what this guy does because it worked for him, will it work for me?
Yeah, for sure. I watch a lot of Klay Thompson and Donovan Mitchell.
Ooh.
I feel like I'm a mixture of the both of those two. Just Donovan Mitchell, really athletic and the way he's explosive, stuff like that. And then just the way Klay Thompson shoots. How fast he gets it off, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, taking after Klay Thompson shooting, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Hoping he can get back in his form. That's a player, you know, you really inspire
that guy's
a root
awesome.
For. Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Who do you got in the NBA this year? Any early picks for championship predictions?
I mean, obviously the Celtics, but I doubt they ended up sneaking one out, but I think the Eastern Conference is going to be a crazy playoff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, a lot of depth.
You think Tatum can play his way into like legitimate like MVP conversation?
I don't think this year. I mean, unless he's averaging 50 the rest of the season, I don't think he's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Starting there.
And that morning out. Yeah.
We're on our way.
44 the next game. It's a good little average median.
Yeah, I think he's averaged like 40 his last two games, which is like huge.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
He's heating up.
We like to hit the local spotlight here and, you know, showcase, you know, restaurants or whatever it is, bars around here. Is there any place when you're sitting back in Braintree, Massachusetts, and you'd be like, all right, let's go get a bite there for the night or anything like that?
Southside.
Let's go.
That's the typical Braintree answer. I've been waiting for
it
like
could have been the Braintree,
but it's not wrong. Okay. It's not wrong.
The Brew
House is probably the second choice. Is it or no?
Yeah, you can't really say the Brew House if you're my age, though.
That's fair.
That's true.
I don't.
Brew House is a god.
Do you like Rashadi's? I'm a big Rashadi's fan.
Rashadi's steak and cheese.
Oh yeah.
Rosie's.
Who's got better pizza, Montelio's or Rashadi's?
Rashadi's.
Oh. Yeah, Rashadi's.
Oh, that's a debate. Don't, I'm willing.
Craig's eyes are lighting up right now.
Don't sleep on the Campanelli's Italian cooking too. That's good stuff.
Hey, I've never had Campanelli's. I've only heard good things. Gonna
oh, great stuff. It'll run you a bill, but it's
yeah,
worth
it's
it.
Next to McDonald's, so I usually just sneak in for a McDouble and call it a night.
What do you think about the tournament coming up next week? Do you have any? And now that you're not in it, can you objectively like pick a team that you hope pulls something off?
Definitely not Delaware.
I won't say what I was gonna say.
I mean, no, not really. I mean, not that we would gone in and won national championship, but it would have been awesome to just be a part of.
Don't count yourself out there.
What do they call it when?
Cinderella team.
The reason that Virginia team was pissed that you played was because somebody took them down. You know,
yep.
Got to believe.
So that loss, I hate keep bringing up the loss like over and over again. But my big question here, I think the question of my night here is what drives you? Because you guys finished first place in the regular season. You guys have this great year and then it comes to a halt in the semis of the conference tournament. So you're a redshirt junior. I'm not sure who else is coming back by your side, but you have one more year to get this thing done against the NCAA tournament. I know you're not looking past the NIT because that's important too, especially a program like yourself, but in your final season as a collegiate athlete, or at least in the game of basketball, what do you aspire to do?
Just make it to March Madness. I mean, it's everyone's goal every year. And I mean, here at Towson, we haven't done it since 92 or something like that. So, I mean, this was the closest we've ever been. We were setting records left and right the whole year. I think we're at 26 or 25 wins right now. Wow. So it's the most Towson's ever had. And I mean, we really thought it was the year, winning the regular season, title. The way we wanted to was pretty incredible. I don't know if you guys looked into that.
I'd like to hear that.
So we played Delaware like January like 25th or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we played them at our place. And it was just when like all the students started to come back. So our winter break is longer than most people's. So most of our games from like December 15th till like end of January, there's not a lot of people there because everyone's at home and stuff like that.
Yep.
So we play Delaware the first day all the students are back and there's like 3,500 people and it's packed. And all of a sudden, like the floor starts getting super slippery. It's really hot in the gym. And I guess it had to do with like something with condensation. Uh-oh. Everyone's falling. So the refs like stopped the game at one point. It was like someone falls, we're calling the game. So literally the next play, they throw it in bounds. The kid takes one step, falls right on his back. They cancel the game.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah, they cancel the game, and we end up playing 2 weeks ago. We finished the game 2 weeks ago. In the second half, 18 minutes, 42 seconds, down 9 for the regular season championship. That's how it came down. So,
wow.
To win,
setting like the tone.
Yeah. What down 9. So we start the first possession, hit a big 3, down 6, and then we went on like a 19-0 run.
Let's fucking go.
Love it. Let's go.
What was the condensation from? Just people being in there?
Just
that
all,
many
the,
people being
all the
yeah,
people
just back in action.
Back in
yeah,
action,
all the
I think, yeah.
I didn't know if there was like a hockey rink.
What was your point total in that game? I'm sure you're hiding it from us.
I think I only had like 11.
Oh, okay, well. Either way, yeah. big regular season
double digits. Yeah. I'd always consider a double digit game a successful
11
game.
And a win. 11 and a win. That's a perfect game.
I didn't play in college or anything.
Do you consider yourself having a higher level of responsibility going into your senior year as one of the points leaders to try and like step up the energy for everyone in the locker room to try and like make it to where your goals are for next year?
I mean, I feel like I have the same role as I did this year. I mean, I'm one of the only guys who's been here the whole time. We're a big transfer school.
Yep.
So we have, I think we had 6 or 7 transfers coming this year. I'm one of the few guys who's been here the whole year or the whole time. I mean, transfers are going to come in, figure out their role. But I mean, I feel like for the majority, this is my team next year. Yeah, I mean, I felt that.
That's really fascinating though, because you got to adapt every year and you can score as many points as you want and have a great season. But if you don't have the team chemistry, then you're not really going to go far in whether it's regular season championships and conference championships. So even the fact that you guys, you know, won the regular season championship, we're so close to this year, mm-hmm. is it really attests to, you know, how quick things come together.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, having a lot of new people come in is always hard. Mm-hmm. My first year, we had 11 new guys and we weren't that good. Then the next year, we were all kind of like glued finally. We finished third in our conference, and then COVID happened, which is a joke. But and this year we had 6 or 7, but they were all like older guys who only have like this year or maybe next year left. So like they all have been through college, through the process, know what it takes to win. And I mean, everyone accepted their role. And I mean, we saw what happened. We just didn't get the final trophy we wanted.
Keep everything you got on that point.
We didn't ask this yet, but what made you pick Towson?
Yeah.
I mean, just on my visit, I felt like the way they played their style, I feel like it would fit most South Shore kids, just like the toughness aspect. And I really like that whole part. A lot of people say, oh, it's because the coach is from Boston or whatever. I mean, that really didn't make that much of a difference for me. But, I mean, it helps.
Yeah, a nice touch.
He's from Medford, so.
Yeah, that transcends to his style of play, that hard body Boston's type, you know what I mean? So it probably does transfer a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And just the campus, where it is, it's an easy plane ride home. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I wanted to go – obviously out of New England, but not too far. So it was like the perfect spot.
Yeah. My last question here, a little broad, but you know, what's your future, you know, after the college game? Will you like be open to playing overseas, wherever you give you an opportunity, or is there, you know, another career that you're going to try to pursue?
I would definitely try and play as long as I can.
That's awesome.
Yeah. See where I can go, travel the world. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. That's like, just hearing stories from, you know, Anthony, and even I've had conversations with Jared Terrell. Like it seems like overseas they've had a lot of fun playing it and, you know, making money too, which I mean it's great to play the game, but to get paid for it's another thing.
Oh, of course. Awesome. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the places are like just really cool places.
Yeah, exactly.
That it happens.
And
you know what I mean?
It's all close to everywhere else. You can travel around in the off season.
Yeah.
And
you end up in like Spain or Greece or something, and it's like it's unreal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have four teammates right now. One's in Portugal, one's in Slovenia, one's in Sweden, and one's in Switzerland. So, I mean, they're all over the
place. Great.
All of those sound sick.
I don't know much about Slovenia, but the other three are great options.
Sounds like this cute girl's there.
Yeah,
I bet.
Nick, really appreciate you coming on, man. Unless these guys got anything else. You guys good?
Good.
Best of luck.
Best of luck, man. NIT, and next year is your year, buddy.
We'll be watching in the NIT for sure. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think the games are on ESPN 2, so.
Perfect. I'll be drawing up some highlights for you.
And then next year, I'll be putting you in my brackets to win it all. Let's go.
Let's go.
If you guys win the NIT, you got to come back on. Deal?
Awesome. This sounds good with me.
Oh, yeah.
Right, let's go, awesome, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Nick. Have a great night.
Thanks, Nick.
Bye. All right. Thank you, guys.
See ya.
Bye. 2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit Slight Edge Fit slightedgefitness.com, as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
And that was Nick Timberlake, Townsend basketball star, going to play in the NIT this week, Braintree, Mass native. Obviously, these bozos weren't in it, but me and Steele had the interview. I thought it was a good – he really seemed like he carried himself, and he's there for war. He's kind of upset that they didn't make the NCAA tournament this year.
Tough
but he's
scene.
Willing to ride out the NIT, and then he's got a whole senior year next year, you know, to get it done and to more than likely defeat the state of Delaware.
Yeah, Delaware.
Which I fuck Delaware.
Oh, terrible.
I must have been in 70 episodes of that. Delaware, like when I was driving back from Florida to Massachusetts, there is not a state I hate more in the union than Delaware. It was
hell of a bridge. Hell of a bridge.
It was horrible to drive through. It was just horrible.
First ever state.
Shut up.
And we're joined by John from Quincy here.
That was a perfect first comment.
Getting away from the interview, we'll hop right on it. The breaking news of Sunday night during the whole KG retirement, we'll get to that too. But Tom Brady coming back to the NFL for year 23, back in Tampa Bay. I couldn't be more excited to have. I was not ready to live in a life where Tom Brady was not playing the game of football. We'll see what happens with the turnover of team. I feel like, you know, if the GOAT's coming back, a lot of people are coming back. We have a close connection with a kid who used to play with Ali Marpet. I feel like Ali Marpet could, like, unretire too, along with Ryan Jensen, the center there, and come. I feel like this team could really come back if number 12 is under center, and it seems like to be the real thing right now. And, you know, I couldn't be more happy. It's great that we're going to see a team in the AFC that we're all going to root for and the team in the NFC, because I said right there, then and there, when Brady retired, that I'll never root for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers again. And when he does retire, I will never root for the Bucs ever again.
But we're back.
See, that,
no,
that,
yeah, absolutely.
That, no, I just have to say that is just like, it's just such a shit take that like you're so convicted in never rooting for the Buccaneers again, or like you're so loyal to the Patriots, but one player. I get Tom Brady is that player.
Ridiculous statements.
But it's so ridiculous that you're like, oh, I am Patriots or death, and you're literally rooting for another team until Tom Brady leaves.
I'm rooting for the player.
You're rooting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hate Tom Brady one moment that I am on.
That's
the
fine, but you can't root for the Buccaneers.
Yes, I can.
You can root for Tom Brady to be the MVP.
I can root for him for winning his eighth Super Bowl.
So that's what I'm saying. Then you can't be, like, I don't know. I just think it's an absolutely ridiculous statement.
Do you think, the Brady love and stuff, but do you think Russell Wilson switching to the AFC had any impact? Do you think he was like one quarterback gone?
Absolutely not.
No, in that standpoint, no way, not a chance.
Tom Brady does not give one ounce of iota thought.
Yeah, I'm just asking questions here.
Quarterback.
Yeah,
no.
Tom Brady's on another stratosphere. You think he wakes up and wonders what the fuck Russell Wilson does? No, just worries about what Tom Brady does.
No, he looks at a clock that says fucking like the time until the next Super Bowl.
My next question for the guys is like he was at the football game yesterday with Cristiano Ronaldo. And, you know, they had a little talking, and they had like a little dub there, like, oh, like, are you done? And he kind of like smiled. He didn't really say anything back. They had like quote from quote. But I'm wondering what was like the overkill, like the 40 days where like, Giselle, can I just like please play like one more year? Like, I want to play till I'm 45. He's going to be 45, I think, in August. So I think it'll be the right last year. I think he definitely wants to go out on top. He's won so many Super Bowls where I think like he wants to win the next one to leave. And then, you know, going back and winning the Super Bowl, like Gronkowski. Now it's been all speculation, like, oh, he would love to go to Cincinnati. Buffalo's been an option. He's obviously now going to go back to Tampa.
Oh yeah,
But this is where I'd say, like, I think this has been on the table. We don't know, just from the mere fact of Gronkowski's lack of a decision, and Gronkowski staying in the league and not retiring.
Oh yeah,
I think that. It was Tom Brady coming back, always.
Not even being like I knew it or whatever. Like I fully believe Tom Brady was going to play next year.
The timing of it is key because, you know, tampering period starts tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. You know.
Oh, damn, I was on West Coast time, Sean.
No, it's good. That's a good take, though.
Tampa wants their duck in a row. They want their cap to be straight away. They want to get the Gronkowski situation all set to go.
Yeah.
The fact that Brady's back attracts so many more.
No, yeah, and other free agents. Yeah, like anyone, like you have Tom Brady again.
Well,
like the entire thing just changed. Like you don't go to fucking play with Blaine Gabbert.
I think it would also be interesting to see the numbers. Obviously, they're not out yet. And how little he's signing for, especially after the, you know, if he's signing for a lot. And,
Brady?
Yeah.
He's still on the contract.
$25 million.
Yeah. Oh, he just, okay.
Yeah, I just still continued.
I was going to say, because what he declined from the Patriots, of that news coming out kind of. Over, you know, the, I think it came.
He had an extra year. That's why, like, Bruce Arians came out, was like, bad. Like, yeah. We'd only trade him for, like, 5 first-round picks because he has the capability because he's technically under contract.
Right. No, but I'm saying, like, what he declined from the Patriots to move on, if he took the pay cut here, it almost, like, I think it just changes something in my mind of how he felt towards Bill or Kraft.
He took pay cuts for us for literally like 2 decades.
But then they still offered him a great contract that he turned down before he left.
What I find very fascinating now is, like, usually by now, like, we're in March, April. Like, I think before then, like, Gronkowski would have made a decision on retirement. Yeah. But he kind of knew in the back of his mind, like, Brady's not done. I don't think
100%. 100%.
Not even in the back of his mind. I think Brady.
Front of his mind. Yeah. All of the mind. Yeah.
Like, Gronk and, like, obviously he's not playing, but, like, Edelman definitely knew that, like, they both, like they're definitely still in contact. Like, the close circle to Tom Brady definitely knew this was happening.
And then you look at the retrospect of it. I understand that they were losing a bunch of guys. Now I feel like they're going to come back, but the AFC is now stacked. Like, we talk about every week, how, you know, Allen, the Mahomes, Joe Burrow made the Super Bowl this year. The Patriots aren't even really in the conversation. They're, like, 5 or 6. But now you're looking at the NFC. Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers just went back to Green Bay. The Rams, you know, just won the title. And now Brady's back. So those are your core three. And I would say definitely it's easier to get out of the NFC if your name's not Tom, if your name is Tom Brady rather than the AFC.
You got to beat Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's dumb to even say.
What do you mean that's dumb?
That's clear.
No, I'm stating an obvious here. How's that dumb?
You sounded like you were making a point.
No, I'm making an obvious decision.
I mean, the NFC's got Dak, the Rams, and Aaron Rodgers. And I guess San Fran.
Well, let's get into, like, the real decision, though. Like, do you think, like, this is his last year? Like, do you think this is it? I don't think so. I think
he's got at least 2 more years.
I agree. I think 2.
I think it depends on if his play quality goes way down somehow.
It's hard to speculate.
He has a There's people that argue he could have been the MVP this year.
He should have been.
He probably should have been.
His play has not dropped.
I'm saying if it does, he'll be done.
It's hard.
Or he wins a Super Bowl, he could be done.
Exactly.
Otherwise, he's playing 2.
It's hard to speculate because it's all about, like, what actually, like, happens. Like, what happens next year will completely, like, does he come back again and do it? Like, if they win it all, he might retire too. If they, like, lose the, like, NFC championship, Tom's going to have a fire in him. He's going to come back. Like, it just, like, depends on what happens.
My thing, too, is everyone can, you know, talk the talk about, oh, now everyone's going to come back because Tom Brady's coming back. When they see the money that other teams are going to offer them, who knows? So to Sean's point of, I don't think it's just going to be one more season. I think they have a better roster, not this upcoming year, but the year after, to have an opportunity to win number 8.
And his whole brand was playing, you know, till 45 through 45. I think, you know, him stopping here was almost going against, you know, everything he was marketing for people to do. Yep. You know what I mean? So I think there was pressure on him for that, just on the marketing side of his old brand and everything he built. Even just, you know, the image that he had. If he's stopping now, I think it hurts that.
Do you think he ever, like, comes out with, like, a "this is my last year" tour? Do you ever think, like, because we all, I think we send out, like, a video message of, like, our appreciation for him. Like, he'll get that again at some point, but I don't think we will know until, like, he finally doesn't play for a year. We will not know he retires. When he says he retires next, we will not know.
No.
If he retires.
It's Brett Favre all over fucking again.
But at least he's fucking good.
Yeah, you know, like, he's the greatest of all time.
Like,
yeah.
Brett Favre was playing for the Jets and the Vikings, and who knows what his game was. He had a hell of a sling, but he was throwing picks left and right.
Brady doesn't care about a tour, in my opinion.
No, he just wants 8. He wants 8.
Brady cares about that ring on his finger. Yeah. You know, like, he doesn't give a shit about the rest of it, dude.
It's just interesting. It's so interesting because you finally think it's out. Now everyone's in New England's just going to concentrate on, you know, the development of Mac Jones and see what they can get in this roster. But nope, we're back at it again. We're all Bucks fans once again at the flip of the switch. And, you know, it's interesting to see. I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, Kirk Cousins signed back 1 year, $35 million today. if that's a competition Tom Brady's going to go against in the NFC, besides, you know, a tough game against the Rams or you know, Aaron Rodgers finally gets his way, there's really not a team that I think is going to fight hard against Tom Brady in, you know, early divisional matchups.
Kirk Cousins, all-time great agent.
Yep.
That guy is amazing. Like,
securing the fucking bag.
Kirk Cousins is like one of the highest paid NFL athletes like ever. And that is so funny.
For
like,
nothing.
That's unbelievable, yeah. Dude.
I am curious of the 49ers. If Jimmy G goes and Trey Lance is legit.
Not sold on Trey Lance,
who
personally.
Knows? I'm just
not
saying. Sold. I think that 49ers team is really good.
Also not sold on Jimmy G.
That's
but
what I'm saying. And if he
two
is
Super
legit,
Bowl appearances.
Yeah, but I think two that's the 49ers L's. Team. And that's my point.
Yeah, like how much of Jimmy G? Yeah, like Jimmy G wasn't much in either of those.
Okay, so take out Jimmy G this year. You insert Trey Lance. Athletic, more athletic. Who knows if he's more of an accurate passer. He hasn't faced any adversity in his career so far.
Makes more mistakes. I couldn't agree with more, Sean.
I'm saying, though, that's my point, is if Lance is legit, is San Francisco... I mean, they have to be, right?
No, because they're like... that's a team that should play real conservative on offense and just, like, ground and pound, you know, make that third and short throw. That's what that team is. If you try to get too flashy on first and second down...
But that's what they're built to do.
They're built to play defense and grind teams out. You've seen it every fucking game.
Yeah, hit George Kittle fucking over the middle.
They have Debo, Kittle, Eli Mitchell. They have...
They make a bat out of hell in one play, so the final score is 14-10.
But then again, the last time a quarterback that was taken this high within the top 10... That sat a year, you know, no one knew who the hell, how he's going to play. Young kid, Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes.
So yeah.
It's honestly like, you don't know what the hell is going to happen until it happens. So, you know.
I let you talk there, Sean, but that's 1 in a million, dude. That's 1 in a million.
I'm not saying Mahomes.
Me, Bobby Page, and Richie Turpin were pro Mahomes on draft day. We were pro Mahomes. It was there.
I'm just saying, if he's better than you expect, are they who you thought they were?
They liked him enough to trade... A shit ton to get him third overall.
You gotta give him
yeah, because he was a beast, dude. He threw for like 7,000 yards.
He's athletic. I don't know. I don't know.
Leaving on to like what we all just watched live Sunday night. The Raptors coming up number 5. Kevin Garnett retired with the Boston Celtics. I'll spin it off right away because there's a lot of people, you know, in the media or, you know, sports personalities saying I don't agree with it. Like, of him going up 6 years makes an impact going right away. When a championship the first year, they don't have that culture without Kevin Garnett. You know, this is a team that's really built off chemistry. And, yeah, they have a bunch of talent. They had a bunch of talent. Don't get me wrong, like anything like that. But him coming in, I think he's one of the most important Celtics of, you know, we were all born in the 90s, of our generation.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree with that anymore.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, it's crazy to not think he deserves that. Like, it's insane. Like, without him, none of that happens. None of that happens.
Nothing. Big baby, like, making a storm in the court, dude. That was great.
Yeah. Oh, dude, like, that was incredible. You got him swearing and stuff like that. Like, that was awesome. Like, that show was
perfect. Here's the thing. It's kind of like the name test. You say the name, and is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a memorable player? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, too. If you're the Celtics and you have Frank Ramsey up there, you have Don Nelson, guys that average 6 points a game that didn't even start. Granted, they probably won 3 or 4 rings, but they didn't fucking hardly play, hardly made an impact. You're going to have to retire KG's number. It's the precedent you set.
Okay, so...
Yeah, how much impact did those guys have? Sean?
All right, play the
how
name,
much did Frank Ramsey do?
You bring up fucking the name game, then play the name game.
Yeah,
okay,
do it.
So throw a name out there.
Ray Allen.
He doesn't get it because he left.
He
doesn't
wasn't
get it
dominant.
He left.
Liar. Quitter.
He wasn't dominant.
He was very dominant. He's
literally the
that's
second
wrong.
Best shooter.
I'm just saying the fact that we're arguing this makes this a legitimate argument.
No, it is a legitimate argument. And he was
Ray
dominant. We played the second, but he does
I
not
agree.
Get on there because he left.
Yeah, I
and left
that,
the left.
That's
the
his
enemy.
Penalty.
Like
that's his penalty.
The enemy.
That's his penalty.
One okay. All I'm saying is the argument of KG being up there. No, you're an idiot if you say otherwise.
And
I'm happy he's up there.
I will say I'll get a little personal hair on the podcast here. What that during his announcement, his speech there, Kevin Garnett, when he broke it down to Ray Allen, like him being there, Paul Pierce got in.
That was awesome.
It was tough. It broke me up. Like they're finally like together and I understand that, you know, Kevin Garnett is the most intense human, might even be human being on the planet. I'm
definitely
not even like,
definitely
not even just athlete, like on the planet I've ever seen, like
who's more intense,
assassin's
Garnett
mentality.
Or Brady?
Brady.
Garnett.
Garnett.
Brady.
Brady's the best winner of all time. No, assassin's
Garnett,
mentality, dude.
Garnett scares you.
Garnett scares you.
No,
dude.
Garnett's much scarier, much there, but like Tom Brady eats, sleeps like more than like Brady
Tom,
is laser.
See, Tom Brady, Tom Brady's more of a Michael Jordan type folk.
I think we're Yeah.
I mean, like these are the two. Like we're both right.
We're
all right. Yeah.
Different.
It is ironic that we're having this conversation. We're talking about both of them. But I'm just saying at the end of the day, like his conversation there and, you know, bringing Ray Allen up when this whole controversy, I know they hugged during the All-Star game and stuff, but I think that meant a lot for Ray Allen showing up for them because, you know, Kevin Garnett was the bad guy in this whole, I understand that Ray Allen was, you know, went away, won a championship with the Heat. But at the end of the day of this like breakup thing, Kevin Garnett made it more of an emotional thing than Ray Allen did, as expected. But I'm saying the fact that, you know, 10 years later or whatever, they got all back, it didn't just touch them. It touches every single Celtics fan and every single Bostonian around. And if you weren't teary-eyed or anything like that, that you're not a real fan.
Oh, those highlights, dude. Like,
I mean,
just running around, fucking flashing the jersey. Like, God bless him.
I wasn't teary-eyed because I'm not a giant bitch. But let me just say this.
You don't have that emotional factor in you. That's fine, but
no,
that's why you're a Rays fan.
It's whatever. Yeah. It's whatever. I'm just saying, what it does,
Juan DeFranco sucks.
What it does is it almost, like, KG accepting it, now Boston fans can accept it.
Definitely, definitely.
And it's weird how that happens.
Like, if he gives the blessing, then, like, we should as well, 100%.
And the captain did, too. So,
I think we gave the blessing before he did, just being honest with you.
I mean, I'm a Ray guy. I was a Ray.
I'm always a Ray guy.
Through.
Best shot probably in NBA Finals history.
The
Miami.
Either that or the Kyrie Irving bank
shot.
That
was tough. Also tough.
And, like, no. Because, like, Kyrie Irving.
He didn't call it.
No, you had probably this top three greatest player ever to play the game, misses the shot, get the shot, get behind three against the greatest coach probably in our generation. 100%. Nail the three, send it overtime, you end up winning the whole thing. Probably the greatest shot in history.
It's up there. That's definitely like in the running, like without a doubt.
Yeah, Miami doesn't win a championship without it, stating the obvious. But
yeah.
I mean, and Cleveland doesn't either in defense too. With
Kyrie Irving, yep.
Yeah, but let's
agreed.
Not support Cleveland.
I wish neither went in, and LeBron's got
fuck
one
Kyrie
championship.
Though, but like that was a great shot.
I remember like right, and that Ray Allen shot was also one of the biggest shots like ever. Of like, the second that pass went out to him, it was just like, fuck, he's gonna drain that.
Also,
like, there was like no way Ray Allen missed that shot.
Also, I'm a big dog on. I'm not a big fan of, you know, Brian Scalabrine's commentary, but I thought he did a great job with the Q&A. I thought he was really good.
That's a very intense, like, job to begin.
That's a tough job.
Yeah, like KG of all people too is like just like the most intense, like.
Well, no, because the thing too, if I'm just getting here for 1 second, like you can ask the easy questions or you can ask like, oh, that the I was there questions of, you know, the whole like arm wrestle thing or the whole of. When Paul Pierce called him out for the Matt Bonner thing, I thought that was pretty good too.
Imagine the balls it would take to switch KG's song. Like when he was like, you played that song for 2 weeks and everyone hated it. Like, imagine someone going up there and like switching the dial.
No.
Well, I'd be more
that
afraid
would be
to
imagine
nuts.
If they had touch tunes and someone just like filled in from like the back.
Him? Yeah.
Me playing Who Let the Dogs Out at the pub.
Great stuff. Obviously, it wasn't a great game for the Celtics. They dropped a tough one to Dallas. Cashed out on the plus +250 money line. Big shout out to the High Slot Pod because, you know, they're big gamblers this week. They didn't do basketball, but I did, and I fucking ripped it. Tough one.
I could say the same.
I still undefeated lock of the weeks. Follow. Let's go.
Adam loves to just, you know, say his wins and never my wins, and loves to say my losses and never his losses.
Because you don't play by the rules. You come consistent. Here once a month.
Yeah. Oilers beat the Lightning. I want money for that pick. Like, you fucking should have had people pay.
Leading on into what should have been the headline of the episode.
Yeah, right.
Like, if we were to do this episode on Thursday, this would have been the lead. Shout out to our guy, Nick Timberlake, there. Not going to be in the tournament, unfortunately. Not at this, but I'm just telling you, he's not going to be in it. The NCAA tournament bracket came out. Been riding Texas A&M all weekend. That's a tough miss. They did not get in. But we're going to announce our winners in our first round upset. And I'll start here. I'll start with my winner. I think everyone's been ducking him all year. Bill Self, Hall of Fame coach. Can't wait. Number one seed, plus 1,100 to win it all. I think they have a really easy road as it is. I think Creighton's going to be their toughest match probably in the second round. But, you know, they have Providence here who probably going to go down early. Iowa is a five seed. I'm just looking here. I think Kansas has a way of, you know, getting to the chip at least and giving them an opportunity, you know, to bounce in and cash in on that plus 1,100.
I agree. They definitely have the easiest bracket. I think Iowa is actually a bigger challenge than you think. I think Creighton's a good team. They obviously made it to the Big East Finals.
Yeah.
But as far as the Kansas, you know, one seed, they do have the easiest path, in my opinion.
Oshaya got G's.
Yeah, Kansas is good. I mean, it's for me. I usually always have, you know, ones, and I try not to get too cute in my brackets. This year, I don't know if I'm going to have a number one seed in my Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, you saw 2 weeks ago, all the top six teams fucking all went down in one night.
Oh, yeah, no, like, it is an absolute bloodbath in college basketball this year. I don't know, and especially, like, because, like, the one seeds, like, Kansas is, like, just, like, name-wise, the best one. Like, Gonzaga is notorious chokers. I mean, they've been, like, the best team for years. They still have no titles.
Gonzaga made it to the finals last year.
And then got massacred by Baylor. And then, who's the other? It's Arizona, Baylor, and Kansas? Are those the 4-1 seeds?
Yeah, Arizona, Baylor, Kansas.
Like, those are four teams that, just, like, not sure I believe in any of them.
I believe in Kansas. From day
Kansas
one,
Kansas is definitely like the
number one. They had a tough championship game against Texas Tech, and they rode it out. That Texas Tech is going to be a tough out. Whether I think they're a three seed, I'm going to have to look at them
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I think they are
three seed. Yeah, it's a tough bracket to look all around and really have a conversation about. We're coming live. Yeah, they're playing Montana State.
Sleep on Purdue.
I'm with Deshaun. They're in my Final Four.
So who did? Also do you guys have picks? Do you guys have like who's going to win?
So, jungle.
It's either Purdue or Iowa is going to win the national championship.
Iowa?
Iowa's a legit ridiculous pick.
I like Iowa, like I just said.
That's one of the worst.
I think that's a stretch.
All right, so I like UCLA, but like my heart is with UConn, so I'll be rooting into them until they lose. But that's going to be a tough stretch. They're in a bracket with Duke and Gonzaga, so like getting out of that's going to be tough.
I don't know why you can say Iowa's a ridiculous pick and UConn's not. Especially with
which one of those teams have we seen win multiple national titles in our life?
But Iowa's a really good team this year. I think it's with Luka Garza gone, they're overlooked.
I repeat my question.
I'm just
which
saying,
of those have
I
we
just
seen?
Think Iowa
I've never seen
better.
Iowa basketball do a thing. I've seen UConn win
multiple. Did everyone
pick
their favorite? Because I'm ready to go for my dog in the.
I haven't picked my favorite, but.
No, you don't have one.
I don't. I
not
mean,
good
I,
enough for
the,
it.
The Zags. I'm taking
the Zags. Yeah, the favorite. Yeah, it's
it's not.
What you got, Sean?
Dark horse. I've always liked this team.
Iowa.
Nope, not Iowa. Wisconsin Badgers.
They suck. They're awful.
They're not.
Just wait. You'll see. They'll make a run.
So my upset of the first round is actually over Iowa. I think the Richmond Spiders, you know, coming off a hell of a performance in their conference tournament, are gonna come in raging. They're going to win the game. And then I think, you know, double upset. I think South Dakota State has a great chance against Providence. Either way, Richmond's getting to the sweet. Richmond is my sweet 16 team.
I fully endorse the South Dakota State one. Fully endorse that. I think that's a pick as well.
I watched the Richmond-Dayton game today.
Rich what?
And
also, Michigan beats Colorado
Dayton's
State.
I think a very good team. An underrated team. I thought that was a very good game. I think you're reaching, but
reaching with what?
I mean, you got to reach on upsets.
Yeah, you got.
I
like Virginia Tech beating Texas as well.
Okay,
that's Virginia Tech's looking great.
Don't forget about Houston either. Houston's a good fucking team.
I was gonna lay it up to you because I didn't want to like say it as my upset because you were saying it to me all last night, John from Quincy. But Vermont over Arkansas, I like that one too. They won the conference championship over UMBC by 40 points.
This is.
That's a good team.
Arkansas
wins, and I own Arkansas.
And this is where I this is where I, my head gets fucked is where I almost it's almost it's not a homer pick, but it's like Vermont's like Northeast, like familiar, where in my head I'm biased and maybe want to take it but won't, and then I'm gonna kick myself or whatever. So that's where I wouldn't take it. What was my upset?
I just don't think Vermont, obviously the conferences and who they play come into
just take it
come into play, but I just don't think Vermont can stand up athletically to Arkansas.
I think they can.
What do you guys think, Loyola Chicago versus Ohio State? What's the name, Sister Jean?
Fuck her.
Like you got like Loyola Chicago. It's March.
Is she not dead yet?
She's still going.
Too bad.
Okay.
she might outlive us.
That's a kid who went to Catholic school his whole life too. That's tough.
Christ.
Whatever. Yeah. So.
Just say it.
I'm looking at it, and Longwood over Tennessee is so ridiculous that I'm kind of in.
Tennessee.
Like, what is Longwood?
Tennessee's like a dark horse. Are they two or three seed?
Three.
They're a dark horse team. That's a very good team.
I know they're good. I'm just saying that's Longwood. I've never heard of Longwood in my life.
I have two upsets that I...
Hank?
I'm not very much... Okay, I'll just say them.
Just say it.
Chattanooga over Illinois. Chattanooga, very good. Very good.
What number seed, you know?
They're playing Illinois.
13-4.
Yeah. Illinois if you shut down Kofi, chokes.
Illinois is a choke artist.
I feel like Illinois and Auburn are the same team. Illinois and Auburn are the same team.
I think Illinois is a little bit above, but like you're close.
Oh,
like,
I think Auburn's
there.
Way above.
They're there.
Auburn's,
no, maybe Auburn's this year, but I'm saying as a program.
Oh, yeah.
Like as a program.
Oh, no, this year's team, I think they're pretty similar. I would probably agree with them. Auburn will be better.
And then my other upset is... back to Davidson.
Over the playing something.
Michigan State. That is a March toss up.
Yeah.
That's 7-10, right?
Yeah. That's where it's like. Because,
like, you want to believe in Tom Izzo in March, but, like, Davidson's Davidson.
They're
like,
not
they're
the
also
team
a March team.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's see.
They're not that powerhouse.
Let's see when. Sorry, Craig. We'll see when does Duke go down? So Duke plays Cal State Fullerton, who was a wagon last night, took down the Long Beach State Dirtbags. Early on,
they go down to Texas Tech.
They go down to Texas Tech. Oh man, I lost the bracket. I think.
What did you just do?
That team is really good. That's a very good team.
So they play the winner of Michigan State Davidson. So that's going to be a tough game as it is. Yeah, then you got Texas Tech. They probably go down to Texas Tech. I agree. They're not for real. They will not get to the national championship. And if they do, they'll definitely lose. They've gotten to like every single part this year. They had the last home game against North Carolina. They got paced. They went to the ACC championship, got paced. Now it would just make sense for them to get to the national championship.
Can we also just take a breather on the Coach K love affair?
No.
Like
who you mean hate affair? Who loves
him? Like so many people want to see him go out on top. Fuck Coach K.
I don't think anybody does.
Agreed. I agree with Sean.
Yeah,
the world
hates Duke.
I hate. I'm not big.
I mean, I haven't seen anybody.
You'd be surprised how many Duke fans.
Yeah, there's Duke fans.
I don't hate Duke as much as most people do.
Yeah,
I'm not one of those haters.
But
Izzo, like Boeheim, Self, I'm big, a way bigger fan of them than fucking Coach K.
If Michigan State beats Davidson, I think Michigan State might beat Duke.
I agree. I think. The winner of the Michigan State Davidson game is going to be riding their hightails off to whoever they play.
Cause dude, that like
I'm telling Coach you, K, Cal State Fullerton. I'm telling you that.
Like you
want
to like win, go out on top and stuff. Like March Madness is built to like destroy that.
Yeah,
that's like March Madness's point. Is like you think you're like going to just like win and go out on top. Like
do not sleep on Fullerton.
He lost
do not
to UNC.
Sleep on Fullerton.
He lost to UNC. He doesn't go out on top.
That loss scares me because everyone on Duke knows that they fucking
blew that.
They
have to be national
championships. Like, yeah, that changed everything. Like, that could be a great loss for Duke, like, looking at it. Like, that could be one that changed everything. Like, we need to get down.
I also have another one before, unless anyone has anything else to add before closing it. Villanova, number 2 seed over 15 seed Delaware. Villanova by a billion. By a billion.
I know. I hate the Nova program. I think our guy Nick Timberlake
lost to them in the semifinals of his conference tournament. So now they're playing Villanova, like Villanova by a million.
I'll root for Villanova one day.
Yeah.
One day. And that's for you, buddy. That's for you.
Hey, big shout out to Mo Money Channel. Big Nova fan. Big Nova gross. Fan.
I'm not a Nova guy at all, but
it's Mo Money Chanel.
What's his name?
Oh, shit.
Gillespie, who's been there for like 35 years, they're going to make a run.
Yep. Well, I guess that's all we have for college basketball. Going to turn to baseball is back. We have Anton back in studio who thinks he's this baseball guru, even though he knows, all he knows prospects.
Shut the fuck up.
I was waiting for that. I was just waiting for that. But do you have any takes on baseball being back? And are the Rays going to make any moves? Because I know the Red Sox are going to make a move.
What move is the Red Sox going to make?
I think Jorge Soler is going to be your starting right fielder.
With the NLDH, I think he stays out in the NL. But fine. I think the Red Sox need pitching desperately. I think they're a bottom-of-the-barrel team in the AL East, especially the Toronto just signed Kikuchi. You know, they have...
Toronto can sign all the pretty names. They ain't going to matter.
Stop giving them this.
I will.
What the Red Sox fans
I have fought this. I have fought this for my life. You should have, too. I don't know why you're afraid of them.
He's so afraid. I'll give Matt credit because of that.
There's Rays. Because
I've seen it.
The Blue Jays, and then there's the Yankees, and then there's a huge gap, and then there's the Red Sox, and the Orioles are a year or two away. They can't really develop pitching, but...
Several years, man. Come on now.
Blue Jays are the best team in the division.
No, they're not.
On paper.
No, they're not.
I think they are.
On paper.
On paper.
I agree. On paper.
Best Yankees. Offense in the league by far.
By far,
Their pitching is going to be serviceable. Jose Berrios is a great. Kevin Gausman, I know.
Gausman's gone from San Fran. He's going to suck. His ERA is going to be over.
You know, Kevin Gausman before last year was like one of the worst pitchers in all of baseball.
Because the Orioles.
He's going to have a ton of run support. He's going
to
have a ton.
Look at the Red Sox last season, and they had a great start to the season. They kind of blew it, and then they made their way back. They beat the Yankees in the one game playoff. They smoked the Rays, and then they they were about to beat the Astros, and then they just blew it. How can they top that? Because I don't think they can top what they did last season.
A healthy Sale.
Oh, definitely a healthy Sale, but timely hitting. You're gonna have Christian Vasquez hit another walk off home run in the playoff game.
That guy's the worst. Well, man. Yes, he's gonna do that, dude.
You get Brandon Lau going 0 for 19.
No, my point too. A lot of things went their way. It was like I hate comparison to other sports, but it was a year like the Bruins made the Cup. Every team just fucking lost. Of course, they beat the team that they got through, but it seems like that's never gonna happen again.
It's like the Giants, you know, the Bumgarner World Series years, or the 2013 Red Sox, that lightning in a bottle.
If Freddie Freeman goes to the Dodgers, we riot.
That would be the worst fucking thing, dude. That would suck so much.
If Freddie Freeman has a heart and wants to do well for baseball, he goes to the Rays, and I'll
go to the Yankees. No one wants to be a Ray.
I don't know. Tell me to do something, and I'll do it.
Fuck off.
Yeah, whoa. Sure. Whoa. Sure.
A little intense there.
Like a Tampa Bay Ray, why would you even free it? Like, no, why would you go to the Rays?
We need
to prove a fucking.
We need a new arena in Tampa. They need to play where the Bucks play. Maybe win a championship.
They have.
That place is an aquarium.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Gross. They lost Cruz, who wasn't even that good.
Now we've
added Kluber, who may become the Cy Young.
Probably will win the Cy Young.
Kluber was still very good with the Yankees. He was injured a lot, but he still has, it's still there.
Glass
like, he
back,
is good.
Shane McClanahan, Rasmussen. I mean, and then you have, the Padres got kid.
Oh, I hate your bullpen more than, anything.
Probably going to have the MVP on the team.
And the best player for the next 15
years. I couldn't agree more. The guy's an absolute savage in Wander Franco. He's incredible.
He might not be that as good as
he's going to hit 35 bombs this year over 100
RBIs.
He's going to be incredible. There's no denying.
I would hope for nothing more.
He's going to be the next baseball great. You guys got a fucking discount on him. It's bullshit. I bring it up every time.
He's probably going to get traded year 3 and
I hope so.
He will not be a Ray forever.
I hope so, cuz you know what? Then he loses. Then it's like, oh, I'm playing for the Yankees or someone for $20 million a year when I could have just signed a 3-year deal with the Rays for $20 million and then got $50 million
after
that.
That's why I hope the Rays don't do it. I hope they reward
them. They will when they end up sucking. They will suck one day. Not anytime soon. Maybe in 4 years they'll probably suck. Oh, the women's tournament challenge is here if anyone cares.
Don't care. You know what?
Speaking of women, respectfully. Did you hear about the New York City mayor, what he said yesterday?
We don't talk about
women.
Politics on the show.
Women should be, he said women should play in the MLB. All I want to see is, if they want to have that happen, fine. But I don't want to hear any crying when the woman gets up to bat and gets a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to the ribs.
To the tits?
Okay.
No crying in baseball. All right.
Can we agree that we're going to cut that?
Yeah.
We're all good. Hey, everyone. Want to thank you for joining this breaking news episode. John from Quincy, always a pleasure you coming on. Had to give us a rib punch there at the end. Great stuff. Want to give a big shout out to Hedgebetter for making this all possible. Justin not in studio tonight. Can't wait to see you next, buddy. Big shout out to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, Craig Kelly and Branch for making this all possible, and the law offices of Patrick J. Foley for making this happen. Actually, golf season happening, Granite Links happening. Get up there, you know, go see some girls with John from Quincy and have a great time. Thanks
That's
a lot,
it, baby.
Yeah, thanks a lot for everyone joining tonight from Steel and Naz here. We'll see you next time. And best of luck with your brackets. And, you know, Tom Brady is back.
Yup. Yeah.